Welcome to our podcast where we share our hearts behind each of the songs we have written, as well as speak on our experiences as worship leaders.
Our hope is the same here on this podcast as it is with our music, and that is to point people upward and inward as we explore the nuances of faith and devotion to the way of Jesus.
We are here. We are alive. We are finally doing another episode.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
I'm doing good.
Like surviving is the new standard for good, or you feel like you're thriving?
No, I'm surviving still. Mm. Yeah. I think taking a shower every day is my what I look forward to.
Yeah. That's the alone
time. As long as I take a shower every day, I feel like it's a good day.
Yes. But you don't take shower until like 8:30, 8 o'clock at night. So
that's
when the good day starts.
That's funny. That's when I just feel there, you know, it is finished. It's complete.
Wow. Just like our Lord and Savior.
I know, that's really bad. Well, we had Nora and yes. We did a podcast before we had Nora. Mm-hmm. And then we really haven't had any time to do this.
Well, and she's now 10 months, which means it's been 10 months since our last podcast episode.
Yeah, over 10 months, yeah.
Yeah, which is, I guess that's how long ago God of Grace came out.
Oh, wow.
Is that right?
I mean, I feel like that's right.
Yeah.
Even though it feels wrong to say.
Yeah.
But it's your birthday week.
It is. A birthday week of sorts.
Yeah, it's Harrison's birthday is on Tuesday, tomorrow.
Tomorrow as in recording this.
Yeah, which live time tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't know when this will come out, but.
Yeah, July 26th.
Yeah. But yeah, I think there's so much that we could jam into this update where we've been for the past 10 months. But I think having two kids, I think those with kids can immediately just go, okay, say no more. And so not just two kids, full-time ministry, mm-hmm. Launching fun and cool things within ministry,
yeah.
At the church, yeah. VBS, we're literally at this last week. So
it ended yesterday.
Yeah, it was
today's
VBS
Monday,
Sunday.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. That album, I'm so proud of. I'm so happy with all the voices on it, all those who helped with artwork to singing on it. It's my favorite VBS album, which...
It is.
You should listen to it if you haven't. It's so fun.
I honestly don't know how you're going to top it. I hear that a lot. Like, a lot of people are saying, it's so good. It's electric. How are you going to top this one? And... honestly, I don't think you can.
Great.
And I think you just need to stop.
Perfect. So you've heard it here first.
So no more music.
We're done.
No.
Sorry, Bill. Sorry, Beach Point. I feel that way too, but there's been a little bit of that I felt each time we've done
right.
it. Which is, it feels great to know that, you know, songwriting, perhaps skill is increasing, but
you're
just
a creative genius, and and you're gonna make beautiful work.
Well, thank you.
But part of me was like, is it because of the pandemic that you had like 2 years to just really just pour your whole heart out and time, and then you know?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing: I actually wanted to do an episode on just the VBS album itself
with all the lyrics that are in there.
But I will say that those songs, at least the instrumentals, I wrote in 2020, and they had just been sitting on a hard drive.
Well, I remember having pleas with you, like, please sell this to Dua Lipa, sell this to Katy Perry, sell these instrumentals to Ariana Grande. Like,
my wife really believes
I was
in
like,
me, in my
these instrumentals
connections, apparently.
Are so good and you need to sell them to Lady Gaga. And I thought they were just amazing instrumentals. And then you were, of course, you didn't.
I don't think they're at that level. And I'm glad you think so highly of me that I could just...
I do. I mean, this was before you put lyrics and words and melodies. You just had instrumentals.
Right.
So if you guys listen to the songs and just like really focus in on the instrumentals, they're groovy. They're good. And well, I say that, but you know, the song as a whole package with the song, with the lyrics and instrumentals and the melodies, they're groovy and good too.
Right. Definitely. I will say the I'm Ready song modeled that after a Dua Lipa.
Oh, you did?
Like arrangement.
Yeah.
That bass, guitar, synthy stuff, yeah. Drum, very simple. But yeah, we're
obviously
down the rabbit trail of VBS.
Well, we just ended VBS. So yes. that was our life. You were in the VBS cave, like just pumping out the music and dressing like an astronaut. And so that was just ended yesterday. So it is on the forefront. Other updates, we were able to raise money for our GoFundMe with our GoFundMe.
Yeah, which is awesome. I so appreciate if you didn't already receive a text or with somehow me reaching out to thank anyone who was able to help out with that. That was so wonderful.
Yeah.
That money will be assisting with all the things that go into getting the song. So the song that will be out as of recording now tomorrow, You Go With Me, that went straight to doing that.
Yeah. So there'll be more songs coming your way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
which brings us here right now, because we will be releasing You Go With Me tomorrow.
Yeah. It drops tomorrow, which tomorrow is relevant to when you listen to this, but it's July 26th.
Yep.
So I think this episode I'm going to release a week after.
Yeah.
Maybe earlier, but...
Yeah. We'll see with the kids.
Yeah.
See what they let us do. Mm-hmm. But it prompted us that we need to get an episode out there. And I asked Mitchell, I'm like, what do you want to do for your birthday? Do you want to do a podcast? And he said, yep. Yeah. This is what he wants to do.
This is my gift.
This is his birthday week. So here we are on his day off doing a podcast.
Yeah. And the only thing to say here before we get into any of the details of the song, that kind of stuff, the specific details of the some past episodes, I went into the details of the instrumentals, the fun nuances of this synth line here, the drum part here.
Yeah.
Which I want to just draw people towards Instagram and TikTok. That's where I think I'll explore that.
Yeah.
And if people hate that and they wish they had it all packaged here in the podcast, maybe that's fun too. But I like the avenue of TikTok and Instagram to be able to give a visual rundown of what's happening too. It's fun. I get to explore my introverted personality kind of come out in that space.
Yeah. So today we will be more looking at like the lyrics and what was that birth out of the season and your heart behind the lyrics, I guess.
Yeah. And also, I think there's going to be rabbit trails that spark from the topic of even the title or not just the title of the song, but the motif, the main vein and purpose of the song is to communicate a God that is with us.
Yeah.
In a darkest hour. So I look forward to talking about that. If you're love, you're love. I believe that you go with me, go with me. I believe that you go with me, go with me.
What was sitting on top of your heart when you wrote this song? It was 2014-ish.
Mm-hmm.
We were living at the LaBar house, renting the room, the famous room.
The famous room.
The famous room.
We explored that room in God of Grace in that episode.
Yeah.
So its fame will be found there. So what was sitting on my heart when I wrote that song is very hard to go back and find that. Given the nature of the lyrics, I feel there's obvious cues of where my mind space was in reminiscing of the juxtaposition of a shame, religious feeling, and then writing lyrics to draw me and others who will find themselves there into a place of grace and the love of God being far greater than anything I could do or experience or have done to oneself.
Yeah.
I think any song I've written between 2013 and 2017, that theme is just there.
Yeah. I think something that was interesting that you were sharing with me was you had a conversation with someone and there was language that sparked the song too, which I love. I love writing songs for our community. And that's basically what happened in this song. You wrote this song for our community in mind, but you definitely related to so much of it.
Yeah, I think it's hard, especially writing worship songs. I think if you're in the context, perhaps any context of writing a song that may become an invitational tool to connect with God. I think any songwriter and especially any worship pastor who writes, they really want to draw their community into something, but also try to capture the heart of where the community is at.
Yeah.
Which a single song can't do that, but at least have songs that are birthed from experiences, conversations within that community. And definitely this song was kind of like a partnership of that, of things of someone in my life during a season of that time that I was walking with and walking through something with them.
Mm-hmm.
There were overlaps of things that they were going through that I was able to relate with.
Right.
And so me as the author and writing the lyrics, it wasn't too hard to map onto that, but just even channel some of their self-talk, their language, the shame, the juxtaposition there.
Yeah.
And even in the time of really pastoring them and trying to pastor them, noticing the things that I would say with that hat on are the things that I would desire to be said to myself.
Yeah.
And so that was just a unique journey to now try to write a song for a person, but for a person within a community.
But so many people in that community are that person in a different way.
Right. Yeah. And that's what's so cool about lyrics is that each person is going to pick a lyric or it's going to highlight something in their own life that they can now resonate with it at its own unique level. And I think that's not unique to spiritual songs, worship songs. That's any song. It draws you into something that is personally relative to you. But I definitely have things and certain lines in this song that relate to even my own past that I wouldn't want to rob the meaning of any of it from anyone else.
Yeah. So as we do share what these songs mean to us or how they were, like some specifically were birthed out of a place of whatever in our life, we would not want to rob anyone from what this song means to you.
Absolutely.
So as we share about our heart behind the lyrics, I hope that it doesn't taint or rob anyone.
Right. I totally agree. That's my hope too. And I do know that just to draw people's attention to it, it would suck not to talk about the artwork of it as well. A good friend of ours to even be able to inspire the refrain of the song, which is "You go with me, you go with me."
Yeah,
it's almost to inspire someone to get that tattooed on their arm, regardless if it was merely because of the song's existence or because of the truth of that reality. Yeah. It's cool to highlight that, and even that there's multiple people with that on their bodies because of that, which is cool.
Yeah.
And my mom, for God of Grace, actually got the words "God of Grace" tattooed on her, which is cool too. I mean, how awesome is it that it has zero to do with any type of marketing, branding, anything like that, but to write something that could spark such meaning in someone for someone to go, that I need that reminder on my body is just like, you can't peak more than that.
It's so beautiful and humbling and honoring, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
We love you, that person. We haven't got permission to say their name.
Yeah. Those close in the community to us who are probably the ones dominantly listening to this will know. So maybe we could just start at the top of the lyrics. I don't know how we want to do this.
Yeah, I would love to start at the top.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay.
So verse 1 says, "Oh my Lord, you know where I've been. I've lost my way again and again. Oh my Lord, you know what I've seen. Still you choose to have me redeemed." So 2014, Mitchell.
Who's that guy?
I know. Because I want to say that this was before you sought out healing for yourself. This was before you had multiple spiritual advisors and counselors in your life. I think you were just starting to dip your toe in that arena. But this was before. I mean, I feel like you're in a different Mitchell now.
It definitely does collide with the time of the story of God of Grace and my anxiety and panic disorder onset. I think if I'm remembering correctly, just even now, it reminds me that the darkest day, when I'm in my darkest day, I remember vividly now that we're sitting and talking about it.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of that when I'm in my deepest throes of thinking I'm dead or I'm dying. This is the end. You know, whatever goes through the mind of someone in that peak panic moment.
Right.
In that moment, you'll be there. So this solidarity statement of a God who suffers with us.
Like speaking truth, even though you don't really feel it or believe it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It almost has to become a mantra, this meditational way of trying to say it. Maybe that's subconsciously why I say the words over and over at the tail end of each chorus. Yeah. You go with me, you go with me. And we'll get to the end of the song, but it goes from "you go with me" to "you are with me." And but I definitely, that there's an overlap of God of Grace timeline, this song's timeline, and all those coming together.
But
verse 1, the "Oh my Lord," so spending so much time in the Psalms because of the anxiety, I was advised to maybe hang out there for a little bit. So the "Oh my Lord," this cry, this plea resonated with not only my own personal prayers, but with the text. Just it being there, just like, I'm going to use that because that's a complete prayer. "Oh my Lord." And then, "But you know where I've been." So many people I could relate to talking to God, and perhaps there's a self-shame talk built into there, or it could be just, "God, you see me." So, again, I don't want to map onto anyone.
Well, for you it was, and for me it's not. And that's beautiful.
Absolutely.
It's Interesting.
I mean, for anyone on a spiritual journey who can't think of ways of, I've lost my way again.
Yeah.
And again, and it's a permission song. Like, I hope this mm-hmm. song is a permission slip to step away from this, the darkness that is so easily accessible mm-hmm. in how one sees themselves. So identity.
Yeah. Just to go back to what I said, I, like for you, you kind of have, like what you said is like, you kind of go back to shame, or you have that umbrella with those first lyrics. And I think, and then for me, the way I take it, or the way it has spoken to me, has been, you have seen through my point of view and you totally know and get it and understand me, God. Mm-hmm. You know where I've been, you know what I've seen. It's like, I'm not alone, which is the heart of the song.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's just right on the point too. Like I mentioned this earlier today when we were talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, Lord, you know what I've seen, and that could be so many different things.
Yeah.
That could be the teenager.
Yeah.
Who's struggling with pornography.
Yeah.
Which my younger self resonates with that.
Yeah.
Lord, you know what I've seen. Or it could be, Lord, you know that how many homeless people I've seen and passed by and didn't think twice. Mm-hmm. Or something, someone else oppressed. And I did not move, even mm-hmm. though it was obvious you were luring me towards that mm-hmm. to move in action. So there, again, yeah. I would love to hear from people's perspective, because I have no idea what people think when they hear these verses, if they are reflecting at all what that means.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, because this is not the recovery sexual addiction song.
No, I would hate for someone to hear this, only now hear this is that's the porn line in the song.
Yeah,
and
exactly. That's all they exactly. But yeah, I would love to hear what people think about when they sing that line. Because every person's journey is so radically different. Right. And
yeah, absolutely. And to wrap up that verse is to, like I said earlier, the juxtaposition of here's what I've done, here's what I've seen, or here's what has been done to me, which I don't know if we've talked about that in other episodes of seeing sin and being liberated from one's sin is not just of sins that have been committed by the self, but being liberated by the sins in which have been done to you.
Yeah.
And so I would hope that there is this full complexity of options that people can gravitate towards when they think about these lyrics the next time they sing it.
Right.
But yeah, but a God who still is just pursuing. Still, you choose to redeem me. Like, that is in the nature of God. Mm-hmm. And I think when I first wrote this, it's almost my shame wanted to put a question mark. Still, you choose to redeem me? Like this, who am I? Woe is me. But now I think there's, as lyrics take new shape and new forms. No, this is the nature of God, of always pursuing, relentless pursuit.
Yeah. You stop at nothing in pursuit of me. Yeah. When I'm in my darkest day, you will be there, be there. Nothing stand in the way.
And I have a question for you, love. Before we move on to the chorus, what would be your hope that upon being led into encountering God or led into worshiping God through engaging with this song, what would you hope people's takeaway would be? Which on one hand, we want them to have the freedom to do that, but what would be like your one blessing, your one hope at the very least people would consider?
That you're fully known and you're fully loved. I think that's the heartbeat of this song, there's nothing you could do that would turn God's face away from you.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear a lot of the bridge in that, in that hope of where can I hide? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, so the chorus, you want to read the chorus lyrics? Yeah.
When I'm in my darkest day, you will be there, be there. Nothing can stand in the way of your love, your love. I believe that you go with me. You go with me.
I'm remembering now, oh my goodness, I wish I had recordings of the first renditions of this song.
You don't have any?
I don't know. I have to look.
Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah, I had a very post emo alternative cadence to it. But we're on lyrics. We're focused on lyrics.
Focus on lyrics.
I do remember writing, so each of those first two lines, I repeat, you will be there. And then it says, be there. First time I was writing it, I think I had, you'll be there, you'll be there. And it didn't fit right. Not just, the cadence was fine. Of it was singable.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But it, how do I say this? When I'm in my darkest day, you will be there. And then it moves to be there. Mm. Almost like a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And ask.
Yeah.
And because for my journey, as my mind's very skeptical, a lot of doubt of the whole gambit of it all, which is fine. That's my journey. It's, you will be there. So I'm declaring this as a statement. Mm-hmm. And then I'm asking, be there. It may just sound like a lyrical, fun choice to say, to repeat the last line. But that's what was going on when I decided to take out the you will on the repeat. I can't say that for the your love. the your love is just repeating the cadence, but at least for that first line.
Yeah.
So I already talked about the darkest day, which I think anyone has that in their memory.
Yeah.
And it also offers the potential next darkest day. So not only does this give, I think, solidarity and solace to one's soul as they think back and they retroactively find God in how he showed up in that past experience, but also the hope would be that the song offers when the next darkest moment comes, God will be present.
Mm-hmm.
And then the nothing can stand in the way of your love. Do you have anything for those first two lines?
It's funny because I always say like, oh, I'm just the homeschool girl who didn't have anything, you know.
No darkest like, day.
My
for
darkest
you.
Day was when, you know, when we were dating and we got in a fight. I don't know. But I think what you were saying, it rings true. Like this gives you hope to face your darkest day as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say now in my, like being a mom and like just experiencing things as an adult, like I have tools to, when I feel low or when I feel like I'm having a really hard day or hard moment, or especially after having my daughter, just hormones are out of whack and postpartum stuff, it's real. Mom guilt is real, and you have heavy days where you're like, why do I feel like I'm in Groundhog's Day?
Yeah.
And why do I feel like just this feeling of dread? And everyone's healthy, like everyone's laughing, but I'm not.
Yeah.
And I'm not having, I don't know how to get out of it. So there's moments of that, and the song speaks to that hope. So there's not really a place where I could look back in my childhood or in my adolescence or teenage years and just like, oh yeah, this was a really dark time, but this song has definitely given me tools and hope to just speak that truth.
Yeah. You know? I think the natural tendency is, I think being raised in, at least for me, the type of evangelical culture was, I was always exposed to like some type of speaker would come into the Christian high school or Christian context and talk about the most egregious sins they've done.
Right.
And we're like trying to somehow muster up this guilt, or we take theirs or we feel guilty that we're not as guilty.
Yeah.
In some weird sense.
I hate a testimony night. I'm like, I don't have anything to give you guys.
Yeah. But yeah, I think to what you're saying is that we don't need to go on a hunt for a darkest moment, which if one does, if that naturally comes to mind, great. But just there's something about singing about the steadfastness. There's something about the steadfast nature of God that he could be relied upon. It's one of the things that plagues me is when I write a lot of these songs, they're declarative statements, and I always get nervous of offering people declarative statements that I still yet struggle with trying to tease out the nuance of the theology and implications of these words. Mm-hmm. But it has... We have to use language at some point. We have to try to talk coherently mm-hmm. about a God who is love and how we define love. I think adjacent to what I just said there, that third line of, I believe that you go with me.
Yeah.
You go with me. I notice I say words like that a lot in my songs.
Yeah.
Even the VBS album, a line that I see a lot is, I know. It's almost like I'm trying to self-talk myself, or I'm trying to remind myself of, you know this, right? Or, hey, I believe that you go.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost, I have to say these things out loud because a lot of things just don't connect in the brain for me. And that's part of the journey, I think, of acting, of having active faith. It's not what you check in a box, right? I think we've talked about this before, but how does one believe that he goes with me? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know how you could just pick that up and believe it.
Yeah, it's like I can, what's called sincerity culture. Like I can just try harder and with sincerity believe harder. I don't think that's going to be helpful. And I don't think we can manufacture that. You could probably foster that by what you surround yourselves with, stories of other people who have just this amazing faith module that they've boosted up. And which is, we need more people to borrow that, those gifts of faith that they have. But for faith for me, that he goes with me, in this season has
been... For you, being practical is just saying it. I believe that you go with me.
Right.
I know. Just those words.
Yeah.
And that's how you work it out.
I know darkest day, you talked about how you don't really have big milestones of that you could talk about. But my sense is that you do because of... the struggles that have, you know, fallen upon your family with multiple ways of trying to understand the mind.
Yeah. I don't have permission to give names or a lot of details, but mental illness is heavy in my family. And, you know, and also just mental health issues. It's a lot. Depression, anxiety disorder, panic attacks, bipolar, schizophrenia, like a lot. just generations of it. And it manifests itself different times, different seasons. It could be a month. It could be a lifetime in some people. Definitely, there's moments where when I'm having a hard week or a hard day, I think like, oh my gosh, like am I in the throes of depression or am I struggling with what, you know, what my family has been struggling with all this time? So it's definitely on the forefront of my mind. So darkest day for me is like, wow, like dark days are real. And it's not just something that you could just spray a Christianese slogan on it and some like Holy Spirit perfume that has right. like a good like saying and put on your full armor of God and then it just boom disappears. It's like, okay, like you need extra reinforcements.
Struggling with our members of my family like losing their mind. And what does that mean for my potential is a really dark moment.
Mm-hmm.
What does the future hold mm-hmm. for how I'm supposed to respond to, take care of, mm-hmm. be there for, process this? That's mm-hmm. really dark. That's yeah. so close to the like proximity
mm-hmm.
to the well-being of the ones you love, trying to process that is very, very dark.
Yeah.
You go with me. Ooh, you are here. Ooh. Working out from your
when we do lead this song, when I've been out in the congregation, just here, I feel like a lot, the song resonates with a lot of people. Yes, to the teenager who's struggling with addiction, porn addiction, or just, you know, whatever, to the mom who is, struggling with postpartum depression. I feel like there's a lot to relate to. I think the language of darkest day, I think a lot of people can relate to that, obviously.
There's plenty of people. It's almost safe to say that almost every person is in proximity with someone they know who is struggling or
yeah.
them themselves or a family member. So yeah. I think I don't think it's too abstract for people.
Okay.
I don't want to forget mentioning that because the song was a VBS song, that there are hand motions to the song, which I used to get annoyed that when I would do it in the adult context and there happened to be like
the
VBS leaders
yeah.
who were doing it, I'd be like, why? It's not the context. And now I look forward to seeing that because there's a full embodied representation of how this song gets structured in the bones of someone who moves along to it. Like there's something beautiful, even though there's a campiness to it, but there's a joy to it.
Yeah.
And I'm letting go of that need for songs and worship experience needs to be a somber, serious thing, but a joyful encounter, which plays into a little bit of this past week of letting my inner child enjoy doing things that most adults may not want to do or something, but doing dance moves to all these songs and just like, who freaking cares of like that you wouldn't that you don't think that's cool or you're above that. Just like, enjoy that ride and be so silly and joyous. And anyway, I just had to say that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because it is a VBS song. And I mean, we've been leading the song for years, but you made it fun for VBS.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you also made the original version. That's not just only VBS version.
Right.
I just think that the song, you know, you wrote it out of a different place in 2014. And it still relates to you today, 2022. And even though you're in a different place, the words still are speaking to you in a different way.
Yeah. That's so cool, the evolution of that. Writing from a place of really desperation.
Yeah.
A love for writing. Yet in the midst of that, but trying to really pour out one's heart in a song and being vulnerable with it without too specific. And now perhaps I'm in a, I don't think I'm in a desperate place, but in a different desperate place. And it's a more weird, analytical, not always fun place to be. But the song takes shape and I'm able to now experience the song, the lyrics, even just as we're talking about it now, like, wow, what can that mean? What does that mean to me?
Yeah.
And what does that mean to the listener?
Yeah.
But it would be really cool to know what it does mean to the listener to somehow reach out and say, what has hit you? What has stood out? That type of feedback goes a long way to creatives who put their art out there, put their stuff for the world to encounter, experience, especially when it comes to connecting with God.
Yeah.
If there's something that this has drawn you towards, even if it was just this song, it could be small, just you remember a time that it got you through a day or something, or you had to get a tattoo or like whatever it is that we want to know those things because it just, it so encourages us. It helps for me as someone who, particularly just for me, I think for artists who need validation, but just that little lift that says, keep going. You should still do this.
Yeah.
Because in my wanderings, I'm multi-passionate, so I have multiple projects open and I jump and like
it drives me crazy, but
right.
Everything you touch is beautiful. But I'm like, can't you just do one thing?
Never, I can't. I can't.
And it's not just one thing. Like he's writing kids' songs, he's writing worship songs, he's writing emo songs and folky songs.
In indie bedroom pop.
And scoring for, like, he'll just find something on YouTube and he's like, I'm going to score to this picture. And then I'm like, what are you doing? So he's just a nonstop creative. And it's beautiful and frustrating. But mostly it's just really cool listening to the outcome of how everything comes together. That's what's working in your mind.
Thanks. Verse 2. Let's do verse 2. I even now still hear myself putting an inflection of a question mark at the end of that first line. Or adding, right? God, you'll never love me more or less, right? And then, let me double down on that. But even in the midst of all my missing the targetness.
Yeah.
Our relation to how we receive the love of God. God, you'll never love me more or less, which is really a theological statement. God, it almost is saying God is maximally loving you moment by moment forever. And I mean, which is weird to try to wrap one's mind around.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people need to hear that, because a lot of people grow up thinking that when you are sinning, when you're doing this, God doesn't love you. And when you do, when you're a good boy or a good girl, God loves you.
Right.
So that is so powerful in itself.
Right.
And when then we have later on the "you stop at nothing in pursuit of me," there we have again that picture of God just running after us,
yeah,
and embracing us and just an unstoppable force to get to us.
Another theme that shows up a lot, I think, of "won't be far."
Yeah.
I see with haste you're running.
Yeah.
I think I was going to say that we definitely are conditioned to accept a framework that we can't conceptualize anything outside of conditional love. And I'm reading a book called Attached to God, in which it explores the overlap of psychology and spirituality, to think that, and I was just talking to a good friend about this over lunch the other day, of we have this type of magical thinking when it comes to, well, yeah, I have messed up relationship with this relative, or all of us have wounds or something with parents, and we all have different good and bad attachments. And we think that that's just an earthly thing that we have to deal with. In my relationship to God, though, like, surely Jesus will bypass all of those hangups I have built and attachments that are keeping me from receiving love on this earth. Certainly Jesus will just bypass those, and I won't have to dig deeper into how it is that I truly receive or don't receive love. How is it that I relate to God? God as mother, God as father. And I think there's so many, and I know it may sound crude when I call it magical thinking, but I think that the inwardness that I think God invites us into, the depth of how we were shaped, there's such a journey there that listener, you are invited to explore how your deepest wounds affect how you relate to God. Mm-hmm. To think that the brain somehow, God is activating in a different part of your brain and how you think, how you relate, just because it's a divine being. I think we are fooling ourselves. And kudos on the beautiful optimism that you have in that type of faith. But that's something that's been heavily been weighing on me, is to explore how my earthly hangups show up, and they must show up. Mm-hmm. So not only is there healing and being able to learn how to receive the love of God, as we slowly unpack that never-ending pursuit, we're able to give that to others as well. What does being pursued mean to you?
I think it's as simple as just someone who just really enjoys you and just wants to spend time with you, that you're not annoying, you're not a burden, you're just like, you're that person that they want to hang out with, you know?
Do you feel like that was the version of God you conceptualized growing up?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up with a dad who wanted to spend a lot of time with me, and he was very present and take me shopping. He would take me and like be outside of the like fitting rooms, and I'll show him my pants, and I'm like, "Do you like these rhinestones?" You know, 1999. And he was like, yeah, those are great. Look at these. And he would, had nicknames for me, and he would call me Mims. And he would just look for the deals, and we would go to, like, you know, Goodwill together and Sears and Macy's and JCPenney's. And he would play games with me and my brothers. And
yeah,
he would help me clean my room and just fold the clothes with me. And he was very present. And he enjoyed us, and he enjoyed spending time with us and with me. And he would always take me out and get fast food. And yeah. And so, yeah, I think that from a young age, I did understand that God wanted to go. And I think I would share this with you. I'm like, God wants to go shopping with me. Like, God wants to help me find the best deals. And
I remember being 18 and not being able to understand that.
Yeah.
That I had this idea that God doesn't care about your parking spot that you're hoping he will help you. He's got better things to do.
And I would, when I would go with my dad driving, because he taught me how to drive, or, you know, we would go to the store and he'd be like, okay. He would pray over the parking spot, but he would also be on the lookout for the parking spots. Like, it's going to open it right here. Look. And then he'd be like, there's one right there. And I just, it was so easy for me to think, like, God is looking out for me too. And there's going to be a parking spot that God's going to open up for me, or he's going to allow me to see.
Yeah.
So it was easy for me to see that God enjoyed me, and he wanted to spend time with me. But I would say that it was at times a lot of it built up in, when I do good, God wants to spend time with me. And when I do bad, then I need to, like, really, really pray and get back to being a good girl.
Yeah.
So God will want to spend time with me again. Not that I felt that from my dad. Like when I did something bad, he was like, I don't want anything to do with you. That never happened. Mm. But I think that's just was built into teaching. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a great model for a figure who can model presence.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we want to be completely real, which I've noticed you've gone through a shift.
Oh, you've noticed?
Well, you've gone through a shift of what I would say, and I don't say this condescendingly whatsoever to anyone who has beautiful simplicity to their faith, but it seems like there's been a shape, and your faith has taken a shape of complexity given certain questions upon dealing with and pondering, I think, just basically the problem of evil, the seeing things that your mind can't put together, a good God in this bad thing happening to seemingly someone good. I don't know if that's shifted or robbed.
Because even anything. With this song, like, okay, you were with me, but God, were you with this person? Were you with this child? Were you with...
It begs the question, well, what does with look like?
Yeah.
Does with mean I'm... Yeah. I just prayed a hedge of protection. Therefore, I've sealed my my fate in that moment, because, you know, like, it begs so many questions of what does with look like, and what is the capacity in which God shows up, can show up, is limited to, not limited to. It with can be so precious, but the next layer of what does with look like can be explored on so many different levels. And I think for a lot of people, it just means that, I think they probably just put in their minds a suffering God who can stand in solidarity with the pain and says, I'm here. But the next question, well, God, if you're here, why isn't there change?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what bad answers with good intentions possibly offer, we just can't know. which that may be just the ultimate truth that we can't know. Or it leads someone to shift what they were raised to believe with and their theology of God, which has been wrestled with for, you know, millennia. Yeah. So yeah. I just want to say it's been a gift to walk with you through and alongside those complexities, because it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And many circles want to just say you've lacked faith, or it's simple, just believe this. And now we're back at sincerity culture, easy believism, and sanctified common knowledge of this is just how it works. So buck up. And I think the withness invites us to wrestle with the complexity of what that can mean. So the bridge of the song is not too much to talk about, because it's such a simple one, you know, phrase for the most part. But obviously it leads us into reflecting deeper on hiding and how much we do that. And, you know, as I lead worship, part of my thing that I try to do in little moments and pockets between songs is, hey, church, where are we hiding this morning? Which well, they probably
you,
hate.
You don't every time, but you do encourage, like, you know, like put your hands out. Not that this is magical, but just to an openness. Like, I guess there is a, what is the subtext? Is like people are, they come in reserved. So you ask them, come open. And whatever happened this morning on your way to church, just, you know, so you're not telling people, what are you hiding this morning?
Yeah, I do in the subtle way. I try. I think they're just renditions of creative ways of people to take inventory of hey, yeah, well, like, of, where yeah. are you this morning? Because we can't make any progress in engaging with God unless
unless
you just get an aha awakened moment by a song lyric that just jumps out and you are not expecting it. Those moments aren't all the time. Showing up doesn't guarantee one of those moments, but there's something unique to taking that inventory and pausing to say, okay, where am I? Where is my heart right now? Because I don't think we, so when we think about that line, where can I hide from your love? You may think of Jonah. You may think of someone who's running away from God, which is a very conscious move, you know, that story depicts, you know, the character Jonah doing. But I think there are countless ways in which we are subconsciously running away and trying to hide from God's love. And that shows up in so many different ways. But until one reflects and tries to know thyself in that moment, they can't really give yourself. If you don't know thyself, how can you give thyself? I don't know why I'm talking King James. But,
I know. Old King James.
But
there has to be an awareness.
Right.
At least an awareness of, wow, I am closed off. And just that simple is a good baseline of like, wow, I'm very reserved this morning or this week or this year, whatever it is. But coming into worship and just having that awareness, that will unlock a lot.
Yeah. And you know what? If someone takes that moment to actually genuinely reflect and they feel, wow, I'm so closed off and I'm not ready. If you sat down and you did not lift your hands, you know, the instant feedback that was going to make a worship leader feel good about what they're doing, I would want that because your authentic self, realizing where you are, is the next step in order to really, truly, I say this a lot, giving God consent to do because of this divine partnership, this collaboration of not only bringing about goodness mm-hmm. love into this world, but unlocking who you are meant to be at your truest self, living in your royal identity and living that out. I would hope that you would authentically be mad or reflect, not say, I've realized I'm really mad at God in this season, so I need to push through in this moment. Maybe, but gosh, as a worship leader who I'm trying to foster authentic people,
mm-hmm.
I would never want to be the cheerleader who is just trying to edge you towards—
raise your hands higher, sing louder.
Towards bypassing yourself. Right. And you know what? But the complexity is that some people need that push to realize like, you know what? God is present and I'm going to give him this moment even though I don't want to. Like, however you need to be in that moment is so important. And well, that was a nice tangent off of Where Can I Hide From Your Love, but just to explore, and even the listener now, where are you hiding? Where am I hiding?
Do you feel that you could relate to that line?
Yeah, and I think that I tease that out in the song Won't Be Far.
Yeah.
And what will come up a lot in these, as we do podcasts, is my high love for both what Jesus invites us into through the avenue of therapy, because there's so much to explore about the self. Yeah, I don't think there's much more I could say to just to advocate for people. There's been a long history of toxic positivity amongst Christians who want to put on a facade that they're okay, and that's what the good Christian response is.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do, because my Jesus has won the victory, so who am I to be downcast?
Yeah.
And you know, I want to hold the tension of like, but lift up your head, and you know, you set up these reminders and signposts to help pull you out of that. Mm-hmm. But there's a finesse of bypassing and pulling out of journeying through versus ignoring and compartmentalizing. I really think that theme is just always going to rear its head in every episode. But it's so there. And I think it's still present in so many Christian circles. And I think there is a new conscious awakening within that. Maybe it's just my curated feed, but.
Yeah. Is there anything, because we're reaching the end here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any more like details that you feel like someone might relate to, or it might touch someone's heart if you talk a little more in depth about something?
For sure. I would just hope that, the teen that is struggling with pornography would sing this song loud, knowing that there's something truer about them than what they are giving into in that moment.
Yeah.
That there's still royal identity.
Yeah.
Far outweighs their momentary thoughts of how dirty they feel.
Yeah.
So when they sing, you know what I've seen, still, you're there. You choose to have me redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already said, I don't want that to become the porn line.
No, but I think that's beautiful.
I given the statistics that not even the teen, the adult, either listening or singing those words need to be reminded that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, not the shame cycle and spiral that you think is going to, if I can hurt myself and self-talk myself down enough to feel bad, surely then I'll find my rock bottom and God will be there.
Yeah.
Would you allow the unending mercy draw you, not a cosmic gun, that threatens you.
Yeah.
That doesn't last. But the steadfastness of God is going to be the thing, going to be the thing you want to have a worshipful response to that leads you to victory. And that is not, that is to, for any type of way in which we're ensnared in some type of sin. Sin of resource hoarding, money. You know, we could list all the things that our culture is very enmeshed in. I would really hope that you would be drawn into repentance, but it, that that drawing would be because you're reflecting on how good a God is still to you in the midst of all the ways we choose the bad. So I think to wrap up, listen to the song, share it. It's streaming everywhere. And we hope to do more podcasts, more episodes. And I know in the past we've talked about having guests. I still have fostered those conversations with those who are excited to do that. And there's so much to explore. And just as a worship leader and someone who has a heart for people that they would connect with God. But we hope you've enjoyed this episode. We hope to do more. Listen to the song. Connect with us on all the social medias and be on the lookout for us to explore the little nitty gritties of the fun parts of the musical side of all of this. That's what I, you know, always get excited about. Cool beans.